Hello, and welcome back to another episode of You Can Survive, Let's Talk About Cancer. I'm your host, Arzu, a cancer survivor, as well as cancer champion for the patient-led charity, the Yorkshire Cancer Community. I'm also part of the Cancer Smart Initiative, which is an exciting opportunity to help tackle cancer and its associated inequalities in West Yorkshire and Harrogate. In particular, we're looking at how we can help improve outcomes of cancer patients through early diagnosis and screening and provision of preventative advice. On today's episode, I am very excited to be joined by another inspirational guest who is going to share her cancer survival story. She is one of the many women who are lucky enough to say that a smear test actually saved her life. She's also very passionate about educating on cervical screening and the benefits of this, and she started off with her own daughter. I know that she did a lot of fundraising for her local community, and she did do a lot of work to support especially the elderly members of her local community during the COVID crisis. So welcome to the podcast, Julie. It's a pleasure to have you join us today.
Thank you so much, Azo, for asking me to come along and obviously speak so passionately about cervical screening. So it's a pleasure for me to be here this afternoon. Thank you ever so much.
No worries. And, you know, just so that the listeners learn a bit more about yourself, would you like to tell them a little bit more to start us off?
So I'm a mum of two and I'm 49. Recently, the last 12 months has been challenging for everyone. Obviously, with lockdown, the pandemic, it's been incredibly difficult for everyone. So I did venture on to support the community by providing meals for the vulnerable and the elderly and prescriptions and everything. But the main part of me really is I'm passionate about the community being strong together and having support for each other, hence why I decided to create Blessed Community Services. So it gave a full all-round package. And obviously to support cancer, which is very close to my heart, losing my father as well, and many friends, unfortunately, for me to say that. So it is something that's very close to my heart. So I'm happy to help with anything that we can support with.
Oh, that's amazing. And just through hearing a lot of the work that you've done for your, I think it's the Blessed Community Charity, if I'm not mistaken, and the fact that you're so passionate about supporting people affected by cancer because of your own experiences, it's truly commendable. And I'm so glad that you were able to join us today. So without further ado, would you like to start sharing your cancer story and how everything started?
Yeah, well, you know, just I was 18 years old, just starting out really on a life, what ahead of us. And like normal, most girls had a boyfriend at that age and obviously, you know, making sure you take care of yourself. So it came to that stage where at that time, back then, even at 18, because you was on a contraception pill or, you know, you had to have a cervical smear test.
Right.
That was what was the norm then, where now it isn't. So, of course, I went along and had the smear test and, you know, never thought anything really about it. You know, a bit uncomfortable, but not as bad as I thought it were going to be. But as a young person, it's quite daunting to, you know, to go for that procedure. But nevertheless, I did go for it. And like I said, never thought anything else about it. They said, oh, we'll write to you if there's any problems and one thing and another. Anyway, weeks, months passed, I'd not heard anything. So as a young girl, you know, carrying on with my life, never thought anything about it. And it wasn't until I found that my knees were starting to hurt really bad for some unknown reason. There were no reason for my knees to be hurting as a young person. So I kind of thought I'm going to go along and maybe get this checked out and see what's what. So booked an appointment, went to for my knees, and as I sat in with the doctor, she kind of said to me, "Have you come on your own?" Right. And I said, "Okay." I said, "I have. Do I need to fetch someone with me because I'm 18? She says, "Well, we've got a lot to go through, and I'm just a bit surprised you've come on your own."
Mm.
And I said, "Well, I haven't really told my mum about my knees or anything hurting. That's what I've come for." And she says, What have you come for? And I said, "I've come about my knees hurting." And then she said, "Did you not get the letter that I sent to you?" I said, "Well, I'd not." She says, "Unfortunately, we needed to see you quite urgently because of your smear test result."
Mm.
And I said, "Okay." She said, "It's not great news. We need to get you seen by a gynecologist straight away. Unfortunately, right. on the scale, it was kind of on a colour scale then what they kind of measured it on." And she says, "You're kind of at the top end of the scale where we need to act now." So okay. I were in total disbelief and sat there as an 18-year-old girl, not gone for that. And within that 2 days, I was in an appointment in a hospital.
Right.
So it had come back, obviously, that there'd been the cancer cells were there.
Okay.
And it needed urgent treatment before it go any further. So I had a treatment in hospital, went in hospital. A bit of a whirlwind. Didn't expect to have to have all that treatment done. And also they had to take a snippet of my womb as well.
Okay.
Which it had kind of crept a little bit onto that. So everything got removed.
Right. So you underwent surgery.
Yes.
Following your diagnosis.
And it were there and then. They did say to me that day, "You are here. Are you feeling very brave? Because we need to do this today."
Okay.
Obviously, my mum come with me for that.
Right,
So it was quite a traumatic experience, if I'm being truthful with you, Azo. And, hence they did the treatment and thank goodness that was everything went okay.
Yeah.
But it took 5 years to heal.
Wow.
From that surgery, the surgery inside wouldn't heal. They were worried that things had gone further. Thank goodness it not.
Okay.
So if I hadn't have ever gone for that smear test, I can't even begin to imagine what would have been the outcome of that, because it weren't great.
Yeah.
And it does shows you how important it is for that screening to be done. And I was 18, I weren't 25. I was 18. And I kind of only had one boyfriend. It was very new. I'd started and come into adult and things. So it's quite shocking that now, it's kind of overlooked a little bit. It's not highlighted as important as it should be.
Yeah.
And luckily for me, I kind of had regular smear tests after that, regular checkups, and thank goodness nothing ever come of it. And touch wood, nothing ever does. I'm still, okay, few changes this year, but maybe that's just the menopause. But I'm keeping on top of it. But speaking as a young girl, going back into that time frame where I was a young girl, maybe nervous about even going for a smear test, and it took all my willpower to get over being scared. And there were a lot of my friends who said, "Oh, I'm not having one of them," but it is so important. And thank goodness I weren't one of those who said, "I'm not having one of them," because I wouldn't have been here today.
Absolutely.
If that had been the case.
Like you said, it wasn't something you expected. You were only 18. Oh, you were goodness. So young.
Yeah. It was totally shocking. when the doctor said that to me, and I were thinking, wow, so obviously the knock-on effect then when I went back home and said, look, Mum, I'm, you know, this, so Mum kind of melted down and didn't know where to go from that. And it just left like a ripple effect into the family because none of us really know what's going to happen, what do we need to do, you know. And I think, and to be fair, with it being so scary at that time, it, you know, I ended up with Bell's palsy a month after. And I think that was just with the stress and things, you know, what come out of the blue. And this is the main reason for screening is to not get to that stage, you know, of where we have to have such traumatic treatment quickly.
Absolutely. And you mentioned that you had that surgery to remove the, was it your cervix that was removed?
It was. They actually took all the cancer cells off of the cervix, and they did that with they burnt them off. It was like a burn treatment. But unfortunately, once they obviously examined me and started treatment, they had to take the lower part, a piece of my womb off as well, because it'd gone to that bit. Which made, you know, the surgery, it needed to be done there and then. And I'm so grateful that they did. It was, you know, honestly, this has got to be done now. As an 18-year-old, you just think, well, I've only gone to doctors for my knees, you know, now I'm in here and now you're saying it's... So, you know, it's so important as for people to remember that screening is there to prevent that action and to prevent us getting that far down the line.
Absolutely. And would you say, like, having the smear test meant that your cancer was caught at an earlier stage, for example, before it spread elsewhere, and that sort of had some kind of influence on the kind of treatment you received as well?
Absolutely. I would have dread to think as a what... stage it had have got to, because it were quite crucial that I had the treatment straight away. Now, that was just with the first screening, you know, the first smear flagged that up. And I think if I hadn't have had that, I don't know what stage we'd have been at if I hadn't have had the screening. If I'd have left it another few year, then maybe, you know, I'd have had more to be taken away from it, to have gone more onto my womb. So I think the result would have been probably a completely different path, if at all, if I'd have been able to get over it, because you never know. So absolutely, screening is crucial. It's crucial.
Exactly. And I feel that in terms of like the treatment you received, it was mainly surgery that you had and not chemotherapy and radiotherapy. So if you had reached the stage where it spread, for example, or the cancer had advanced, then you may have had to have those more aggressive treatments, which obviously come with their own risks and long-term effects as well.
Yes. And that is, and you know, I can sit here and say that today because, you know, I were absolutely dreading them, having to go to chemo, to radiotherapy. You know, was it where I weren't going to be able to have children? Is it going to be a more intense surgery? And at 18, when you're just starting out, you know, these are things that are always in your mind as what you forecast for your future. You know, that's a typical thinking of an 18-year-old, you know, where's your future going? And, you know, I'd love to have children, some don't, but it is a thought process. And to actually have that just stuck and thinking, are we able to move on from that, is a major key element as to why screening should be done earlier. And I really think it should be pushed. Definitely from, I think 25 now is the first
screening. Yeah, it's 25, yeah. And like you just said, the fact that your abnormal cells, the cancer cells, were picked up on your first smear test, you know, it just goes to show how important it is. And you were just 18. at yeah. that point as well. And I think through education, you know, we're going to get more awareness in the young people of the fact that it can happen to them. And so I think it's so great to have you on here to share your story so that other young women, for example, can listen to your story and hopefully learn these important lessons from you.
Yeah. And that's the key, Azo. I mean, it isn't a very pleasant thing to have done. And this is the key part of it all. You know, you know, none of us want to go and, you know, into a doctor's surgery and, you know, want to be going through that procedure if we don't have to. But the main part of it, you know, is it's the awareness that, you know, I were a person, oh, it took me till I were 28 to have my ears pierced because I'm I honestly, I didn't like anything, like, you know, I'm scared of needles. I've got, you know, one thing, another, but you know, that part is so important as a young woman coming into adulthood. You know, you're going to be having them relationships, you know, you've got to think of your health, and there's all sorts of things connected, the sexual health, you know, what needs to be highlighted, because it isn't just about growing up and turning that corner. There's such a lot of education that's needed for these young girls who need to carry this forward for their own sake, and also to keep educating everyone. And that's the vision that I have, is that every young girl has them choices, you know, and it's more openly talked about. You know, the smear test isn't painful as such, it's just a little bit uncomfortable, you know. And nowadays, you know, there were no piercings and things like that. What were random back when I were 18? I sound as though I'm 100 years old, but I'm actually not. But, you know, there's much more painful procedures that people go through now, you know, what you can have, even cosmetic treatments. You know, we need to balance it up with, in my eyes, we have to balance that up against what people are having already, you know, compare it. It's as easy as this. It's as quick as this. You know, it's not as scary. There's no thing to be scared about, you know. And this is the education, I think, what's lost. It's been lost somewhere along the line. And it needs to be pushed again, Azo, absolutely.
And, like, I think it'd be really helpful for all the women listening who are contemplating booking the smear test if you could share your experience of both your first smear test and then the ones that you've had after, and how it contrasted, how you sort of got used to it, and what was involved in the entire process.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, as an 18-year-old girl going, I just wanted to kind of make sure I'd done everything safe, everything were okay, and, you know, and it were a matter of I had to do that. It was what was required. And at that time, which may seem a little bit harsh, because at that time, if you'd not had your smear test and had that sexual health check, then our doctors were quite reluctant to keep giving the birth control, and said, look, you know, you've got to look after. So I can honestly say that my doctors, who I were under, were fantastic at that support at that time, really were. And that has been lost along the line, because the personal development between the doctor, the nurses and the patient now, it's not like that anymore, which is sad. So at 18, having the smear test were daunting, but it needed to be done. You know, the worst thing that could have happened for me to get pregnant at 18. I'd just started out on my life. So you've got to have this smear test because I've got to make sure I'm okay. Plus, you know, doctor's not going to be too happy me on contraception because I'm not following the guidance.
Yeah.
So that's a huge part of what's missing today.
Yeah, and like when structure. You went for your smear test, like what was involved? How did it feel? Would you like to talk through that, if you don't mind, so that other people can feel more comfortable and less scared about it?
There is absolutely nothing to be scared of. I mean, obviously, it's more a little bit embarrassing than anything of pain or anything, because the nurses who actually carry out those procedures are trained to do so, you know. You're not a unique case. You're one of many. You know, there's nothing recorded. There's nothing, you know, there's no style to anything. It's everyone is just the same. And their job is there to do it. So, you know, you see the equipment on there, and the nurses are really good at talking through. I mean, the equipment used today is totally different to what we used back, you know, in then. I mean, I'm talking, what were I, 18? So
nearly 30 years.
Oh, God, that sounds crazy. But the... You know, everything is totally different, and it's easier nowadays. You know, it's the tools that they use and the equipment. You know, the nurses are very thorough, and they're friendly. I mean, they were when I were 18, but the nurses now are more current. They're up to date. You know, it's a different conversation. It's a different world now, so it's even easier now. So the daunting part of it is maybe just the undressing, and you know, but everything's dignified, you're covered up. There's nothing, no one can see anything. You know, the nurse is there to just do a little procedure and, you know, a few deep breaths, and you're done and dusted, you know. But that's a lifesaver. That few moments is that lifesaver that is crucial. So it's just getting over those barriers as of actually booking the appointment, actually getting onto the nurse's bed and forgetting about maybe anything at all, you know, just chat with the nurse. So if anybody's got any fears of anything, I would say I probably fear more about having my ears pierced, which I did, you know, as you know, I did end up having, it took two sessions for me to go back when I'm done, but it is as easy as that. But in the end, it's kind of summing up for me is that little 2 minutes of a bit of a chatter with a nurse.
Yeah.
You know, you're covered up. Everything's lovely. That just that 2 little minutes is your lifesaver.
Absolutely.
And so important to do. And the comparison is just the same. You know, you just got to go in there and have that positive mind of that this is the best thing I'm going to do for my body at this moment in time as a woman. It's there as a protection, and it must be, you know, made aware that it's not this daunting task that a woman's got to go through.
Absolutely. And, you know, here at Cancer Smart, that's one of our key objectives. We want to make people aware that screening can save your life. And even though, you know, a screening test can be a little uncomfortable, it can be a little embarrassing to talk about, it's but the potential to save your life. You know, in your case, for example, you were able to be transferred to the hospital and have that surgery as soon as possible before things escalated. And I think that is something that would happen for anyone. And even in the pandemic, you know, go for your smear test. Don't just put it off because you think that there's a pandemic out there and that you know it's not safe. It is absolutely safe. You know, the nurses are going to follow those standard operating procedures to make sure both you are safe and they are safe as well. And a key point that you mentioned was about dignity and the fact that, you know, when you're undressing yourself, you can feel uncomfortable, but the nurses, you know, they're trained to be respectful of your dignity and, you know, your privacy and confidentiality. So there's nothing for you to, you know, feel worried about or anxious about. I mean, it is a little bit anxiety inducing, but like Julie said, it's not as bad as getting your ears pierced. You can trust on that. And it's a test that's going to save your life. You know, I kind of like say it's a test day that keeps the cancer away. So, you know, please, you know, if you are contemplating booking a smear test, I do recommend that you do. And like looking back now, you know, would you say there's anything you would have done differently personally, Julie, based on your own learning from the experiences you've had?
Well, the only thing that I would have personally done different is I would have probably chased up the result. I kind of relied on the letters. I mean, bearing in mind there were no emails and things like that, then, you know, everything weren't directly to inbox or a report back to you or an acknowledgement. We didn't have, you know, none of that. So what I should have done really is chase the result up because I'd not heard anything for months. So I would say if you haven't heard anything, you know, then please do chase it up a little bit quicker, because maybe if I had have done that, Arzo, it wouldn't have been the panic stations that happened, because I'd gone for my knees. Yeah. Funnily enough, we never ever found out what were wrong with my knees. It just kind of went. So I'm not sure on what level that were. But that's the only thing that would do different. And it's same today. You know, if you haven't heard anything from that procedure, or, you know, just chase it up. You know, we can send emails in now. It's much easier to get that connection. It's better to not leave it, because that's the only regret that I have, is not chasing it up, because it were quite traumatic over that couple of days.
Yeah.
So it may not have happened if I'd have got that report 2 months before.
Yeah.
It could have been structured a little bit better. But we live and learn, and that's the Absolutely. Only thing that I can say is just please don't miss that slot and that opportunity for that test, and just chase it up, just follow it up if you've not heard anything, you know, and just make sure, because it's such a long gap between one now.
Yeah, you know, 3 years.
Don't miss the slot. What that's there for you. You know, this is a free service. It's there to save your life. You know, it's there for your health and well-being.
Absolutely. And the fact that you mentioned, you know, chase your results up yourself, it's part of being responsible for your own health, because at the end of the day, who's going to care more about your body than yourself? So, you know, take every opportunity to, you know, go for these appointments and to chase up any results if a doctor hasn't got back to you, if you've not received, you know, any communication, because, you know, you want for yourself to be healthy and the best day. And the only way that's possible is if you look after yourself and put the effort in for yourself as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the key to us, you know, as bodies are our vehicles, what make us get around. And we wouldn't not put any oil in his car. We wouldn't not have an MOT on his car. We wouldn't have rubbish tyres on his car, you know. And our bodies are the same. We're a vehicle, and it's what gets us around. It's what makes us live. And, you know, we've got to tune into being responsible for his own body and health, you know. And when there is a solution there, a very easy, painless solution, it's absolutely nuts not to drive this. It really is.
Absolutely. And like, even for women who have families out there and they're so busy and invested in looking after those families, you know, it's a message for them that you can't pour from an empty cup. You need to look after your body yourself and take responsibility for your health before you can take care of the other people in your family, you know, your children, your husband, or whoever it is, your partners. So, you know, you need to make sure that your health is at the best possible level so that you're able to do or function at the best possible level on a day-to-day basis as well.
Absolutely. And that's the key, Azo. You know, we've all got to be responsible for ourselves, you know, and exactly right. You can't pour from an empty cup. And that's the worst thing, because that's when we miss things.
Yeah.
You know, we get too busy. But hopefully we can keep campaigning and making the awareness of smear tests that it's not a taboo subject anymore for everybody to hide behind. You know, it is a key part of us lifestyle now to keep on top of it. And we're all fighting against cancer in, you know, in every shape or form. But this one is the one where we can eliminate it with just those simple checks straight away. And not to have to go through the heartache of seeing family members having chemo, radiotherapy, you know, and a lot of, you know, as family friends, you know, they've not made it, especially not for me. And, you know, it's been a terrible time. So I'm with you, Azo. It is a matter of just keep fighting for that awareness and for kids. And I'd love to be able to say that got implemented back into the doctor's surgeries, where you had to have a smear test you know, and a little health check when you're thinking about contraception, you know.
Yeah.
There's a little snippet in there where we could get in and make it aware, maybe on the packaging or maybe a flyer, what just says about a smear test and cervical screening on contraception information, just to make, you know, the women aware.
Absolutely. And like you said, the more we talk about it, the more normal it is to listen to somebody, you know, speak about a smear test for cervical cancer. And that in itself is going to increase awareness and make people less scared or less fearful, you know, because they, like, at You Can Survive, you know, one of the key things we want to do is tackle that stigma surrounding cancer and not make it all negative, because there is life after cancer, after being diagnosed. You know, it doesn't end there. There's so much you can do even while living with cancer. And we really want to make people aware of that and how much they're capable of. So I'm really glad that, you know, you were able to sort of share your experience and feel the exact same way as we do over here as well.
Yeah, that's great. And even though we talk about women, you know, we talk about young girls, we're trying to make them awareness, you know, it's also to educate the young males as well. It's not about, you know, it's about people's partners, you know, making aware that they know that they've got to have these checks, you know. It's just not something that a woman is responsible for. You, we're all in it together. So for even for young lads to know about it, you know, to support girlfriends and why haven't you had it? You need to go get it. You know, that awareness to, and that education for men, young boys, men, anyone, it's about, what does it entail, you know, for them to support. There's all kinds of ways that we need to, we can plug it. I'm absolutely sure of that.
Yeah, definitely agree. And, like, you know, as you're aware, there's a lot of myths surrounding cervical cancer screening, which probably contribute to the reason why women don't go for the smear test. And I thought we could actually cover a couple of these during the episode today. So, you know, if you would like to sort of read the ones that I sent through to you and we could talk through them.
Myth one, I've had my HPV vaccine before. Am I 100% protected against cervical cancer? Well, you know, if you want to talk about that, you're welcome
So, although the vaccine is offered to now young boys as well as young girls at the age of 12 to 13 years, and it does protect against cervical cancer that is caused by HPV, which is also known as the human papilloma virus, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to get cervical cancer or that you're 100% protected against it. You know, you may still go on to develop the cancer because there may be certain types of the HPV that the vaccine wasn't able to cover. So it's really important that you go for your smear test. And so, you know, myself, for example, I did have the HPV vaccine when I was at school, but that wouldn't necessarily mean that I wouldn't go for my smear test when I am eligible. So that's something that we really wanted to make our listeners aware today, because I think a lot of people think that because they've got the vaccine, they're 100% immune and protected, but that's not necessarily the case. So please remember that and go for your smear test.
Absolutely. Nobody is covered 100%. And this is going back to what we've just been saying. It's about that personal responsibility of his own body. You know, we've got to just double check, you know, double check. And, you know, we double check his bank accounts. If we'd bought a dress from Miss Selfridge, you know, that they're not charged us twice. You know, it's as easy as that. It's just double checking about his body and making sure, you know, we're not 100% covered by that vaccine. We've still got that responsibility to make sure everything is healthy on the inside, you know, of what needs to be checked. So absolutely. Okay, so myth two, would you like me to? This is a smear test is a test for cancer. Well, you know, it kind of is, but it's kind of incorrect, is that, because it's not. It's a smear test is to prevent the cancer developing and, you know, nipping it in the bud before it gets any further. let's act on it. Let's not have that traumatic treatment, because, you know, this can be detected and we can wipe this out before it even starts to ping up hello. Let's get it dealt with so it doesn't test for cancer. No, the whole point of the smear test is we don't want cancer.
To pick up on those abnormal cells earlier so that they don't turn into cancer and damage your health. That's really important. And that's exactly why we've got this myth in here, because I think the fact that people think it's a test for cancer is why they're like, okay, I don't really want to go for my smear test. You know, what if it turns out to be cancer and it's really scary? And that fear sort of, you know, fuels the deterrence or hesitancy when it comes to going for their appointment and cervical screening. Yeah. But we need to remind them that it's actually there to prevent you from reaching the stage where it is cancer, or it's at a more advanced stage. It's to protect yourself from having to undergo those more aggressive treatments like, you know, chemotherapy or radiotherapy, which come with their own risks. As I mentioned, you know, you may experience infertility or an early menopause if you were to have those treatments. So, you know, to avoid that, it's better to have that test sooner. So that, like you, Julie, for example, you could have the surgery as soon as possible and get rid of those abnormal cells much sooner at an earlier stage as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's key. That's the key to that smear test. So myth three now, do you need a smear test if you have only had one sexual partner?
And the answer is that yes, you do.
Absolutely. It doesn't, I mean, at the end of the day, like I just mentioned with my situation, you know, I went for my smear test because it was my first relationship. I was 18 and I'd gone for contraception. So it isn't because I've just had one. It should be because you just need to go for your body. It makes no impact. Obviously, there's a different part to that for sexual health. You know, there is impacts on one thing and another, but that's kind of a different story. I bet you believe that. You know,
but I think there's that misconception that, you know, if you have multiple sexual partners, that's only when you need a smear test, but that's not true. Even if you have one partner, or you're not currently in a relationship, but you were previously, you still need to go and have your smear test, because the thing with the HPV and the virus is that it can remain in your body and for a very long time without you experiencing any symptoms. So even though you're infected, you're not aware of that. And so that's why the smear test comes in to be quite handy, because it picks up on any cells or abnormality which you weren't necessarily experiencing symptoms wise. I mean, Julie, I don't think you had any symptoms related to cervical cancer when you went for your smear test, apart from the knee pain, which was not
months
related
after.
Yeah,
nothing. I wouldn't have. I had no symptoms whatsoever. I had nothing at all to say there was something going on. In the cervix or anything. I had nothing. I was just a normal, I'd gone for something else.
Exactly.
I would never have known. If I'd never have gone to the doctors for that, I'm not sure what would have happened. They probably would have caught up with me somewhere, but, you know, but that's the key. There is no symptoms for that until when you start getting symptoms, and then we're in dangerous territory. That's when, you know, but with the smear test is designed to pick up so we don't ever have to go into that territory, and that's the key part. The same as this one we're going to go on to as well, I have had a partial hysterectomy and I do not think I need a smear test.
And again, that is false. You do need a smear test, and that's because a partial hysterectomy means that there's still your cervix, you know, part of it is still in your body, and it's really important for you to go for your smear test and be checked for any abnormalities or abnormal cells. Because if you don't go sooner, then it could potentially, you know, spread to other parts of your reproductive system. So, you know, your womb, your ovaries. So that's definitely something for all our listeners to be aware of and educated on as well.
Yeah. And I can give a little quick story. What's just recently, and this honestly is my auntie, my great auntie, and she's 87. She'd never had any children, and it just never happened for them. And they'd only ever been married to each other. for all right. this time. They couldn't have children, and one thing another. And then she got to 87. She was 87, and she just said to me, "Do you know? Can you believe it? After all these years, I've had a period." She says, "I think it's mimicking. I think it's gone full circle." And I think, and I said, "But that's not right." And she, I says, "Have you had to wear a pad? Is it that, you know?" She says, "Well, no, it's honest spotting, but I think it's trying to have me on that. It's taking me back to my youth."
Right.
And I said, "Right, okay, right." I says, "And have you always have your regular smear tests?" She says, "I've never had them because I've never had any children, so I've never needed to."
Right, right.
And I'm like, "What do you mean?" She says, "Well, I've not had children. You only have them if you have children." And she's 87. And I was like, yeah. "Well, no, that's not it." And unfortunately, it was cervical cancer that she'd got.
Right, right.
Thank goodness she's come through it. She didn't have to have chemo. They took everything away. And this is, again, the education. Mm. And this is a lady who won a manager and multiple shops, but there it still got lost in the education. Excellent.
And just touching upon the bleeding that your, you know, relative experience, that is a potential symptom that women yeah. who do experience symptoms do develop in cervical cancer. It's the abnormal bleeding in between their periods, for example, yeah. or anything that's not normal for them, really.
That's
so
right.
I thought I'll just like point that out as well.
Definitely. And that's the key. That's what we keep going back to. It's about knowing us bodies, you know, listening to us bodies and keep checking what's not right. And like even the myth there, "Well, I've not had any children, so I never needed a smear test." And I'm like, so it just shows you how the knowledge has to keep being repeated.
And if you're like sexually active, that means you do need a smear test. And I think you really need to remember that and, remind yourself or educate yourself that it's not to do with how many children you have or if you have children or not. It's not to do with any of that. And for our listeners tuning in today, I really want to sort of encourage them that if they do have any questions or anything they're confused about, that they do speak to the GP regarding this, because we don't want them, because of that confusion or hesitancy, avoiding booking the smear test, because that's not good for them or their health either.
And we all need to be responsible for booking in, asking when the clinics are, and even if you're a bit nervous, if you just say to the nurse on arrival, "I am very nervous, I'm not sure what to expect." These nurses are fantastic who do these procedures, they're there to encourage health, and that's what they're there for, is for you. So even if people think, "Oh, how's nurse going to be with me? She's going to look at me funny, and oh, I don't know about that." And I've heard every excuse in book from a lot of my friends, but it is actually there, as a support for you. The nurse is not there to judge. So please, if whoever is listening today, please get that test, and educate your families, your friends, and even going to educating, your sons.
Absolutely. I just want to echo everything that you've said, for anyone who's listening, any woman who's aged between 25 and 49 years, please do attend your smear test, which you would be required to attend every 3 years, that is. And if you're within the age bracket of 50 to 64 years, that's every 5 years. And is there a final message that you'd like to give to our listeners, Julie, just to wrap things up?
Well, thank you to everyone who's logged on to listen. And thank you, Azo, for even making, this meeting, and little discussion to highlight what's so important to all of us, really. It has a knock-on effect, not just for women. It also has a knock-on effect for the families, for the partners, for dads, for it's just a wide net that needs to be captured, and it needs to be on all the time. So please just, encourage that age related, probably the younger age, really, to continue reading about it, you know, getting that support, and not to be frightened. You know, none of us need to be frightened about that. So please just make anyone aware, you know, that the smear test is there to save your life, that few little moments, even have a laugh with a nurse, laugh it out while you're there as best you can. You know, you're in and out. It's as quick as ordering anything else. Even a Costa coffee takes longer in my comparison. And we're quite happy to queue for them, aren't we, and spend this time. But that few moments with that, you know, those lovely nurses who are there to help you is just, you know, just please don't miss your slot and don't miss your smear test.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today, Julie. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on with us today. And I really hope that all the listeners who tuned in feel more educated on cervical cancer screening and what the benefits are of smear tests. And, you know, please remember to attend your smear test day, because remember, it keeps the cancer away. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So that brings us to the end of another episode of You Can Survive, Let's Talk About Cancer. We really hope you learned something from Julie's story today and feel motivated to attend your smear test day to keep the cancer away. If you would like more information on cervical screening or cervical cancer in general, do visit the NHS website. This podcast is brought to you by the West Yorkshire and Harrogate Cancer Alliance and patient-led charity, the Yorkshire Cancer Community. To find out more, visit us on our website, that's www.yorkshirecancercommunity.co.uk/cancersmile. Thank you.